Hi, everyone. This is Fantasy Sports Today on this lovely Monday afternoon, live.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, live from the Fantasy Sports Network studios in Toronto, where there is snow on the ground, Chris. Oh, I know.
Brutal. Man, yesterday was awful. It's windy. It was snowy. Yeah. I don't like it.
Wore my winter parka for the first time today. Not happy about it. Jim Sonnis is going to be on
Canada,
the show, though, numberfire.com, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
We're going to do some waiver wire digging and see if he agrees with some of the choices that we have. I think we're probably going to disagree about one Tyler Boyd, though, so we'll see what everyone thinks about that in just a second. And then we're going to talk some targets and touches, as per usual, on Monday afternoon. But Chris, Cincinnati.
Yikes.
I mean, just terrible news all around. AJ Green gone. Torn hamstring is the unofficial diagnosis. They're going to give him an MRI this afternoon and see what he's going to be, what his prognosis is going to be for the rest of the year. And then they also lost Gio Bernard. Torn ACL.
Yeah. I mean,
at the end of the game.
Not only did they lose, you know, arguably two of their best players, skilled players.
I don't think it's an argument.
Well, I mean, Gio could be an argument.
Fine.
Maybe he doesn't belong as the top two. But either way, they lost that game.
Yeah.
At home. This is a team that's really struggled this season, and they're just not the same team we're used to seeing. I mean, this is always a team that makes the playoffs, they get it done, they disappoint in the playoffs,
losing, and so on.
Andy Dalton likes to get all the blame, but can't really blame him. Lost AJ Green, as you mentioned, now Gio Bernard. So this is all up to Jeremy Hill now. It's not a fantastic situation, you know, because he's not that great.
Sure.
But in terms of fantasy, volume is what we like. So the rest of the season, I guess he's like a borderline RB15. I don't put them there as an RB1, but somebody who's going to get all the carries and all the touches, because 2 weeks ago it was him and not Gio. And then yesterday, before Gio got hurt, it was all Gio and not Jeremy Hill. So it's always confusing which guy is it going to be. So if you're a Hill owner, now you're just happy, you know, that you can just roll him out there and it's like all the touches are basically going to go to him. So again, it's not a great situation for Cincinnati. Their offense is going to struggle. We'll talk with Jim Sonnis.
Yep.
And it's hard to argue with Jim Sonnis, because he likes everybody, and even if we put somebody at him that he doesn't like, he'll probably put a positive spin on it. But we will talk about, you know, is it going to be Boyd? Is it going to be LaFell? Boyd was really good yesterday in that game.
In the first half, though.
And then he kind of disappeared.
They kind of shut him down afterwards. We'll see.
They're both of them are very mediocre.
Gio's going to hurt them, though, being gone. He was top 10 in running backs for yards.
It's going to hurt Dalton, too. Dalton likes to throw a lot of passes to him. Dalton's not a startable quarterback the rest of the way, either.
LeSean McCoy dislocated his thumb. Apparently, he was trying to come back in the game, but they couldn't pop his thumb back in on the field or in the locker room, so he did not return. He had surgery this morning, Monday morning, to get
just
that fixed. Excuse me?
That was just the tip.
Of what?
Oh, she did get it. Camera two. It's just like, just tell her it was just the tip. Just the tip of the thumb. She'll get it.
That's a sabotage line right there.
Yeah, good news for McCoy. He's going to play, though. He's supposed to play this week. And what? You're not satisfied?
Don't use that word after what you just said. He's going to be playing. That's fine. How well is he going to be able to secure the ball?
Yeah,
we're not too sure. Can he catch? What's his usage going to be like? It will be a huge uptick for Mike Gillisley and his production if McCoy is limited, which I anticipate that he probably will be. Every time he's had over five carries, he's averaged 5 yards or more on the ground per carry, and he has 4 touchdowns. This is Gillisley on limited workload. So he is a viable option if you're talking about waiver wire pickups or if you had him as a stash just in case something happened to McCoy as a handcuff, then that's probably going to pay off right about now.
And people probably dropped him because McCoy came back.
But
you're right, Ashley. He's been productive. He's been scoring touchdowns, and he was great in the game in the second half yesterday when there was no McCoy. Buffalo likes to run the ball, and they run the ball well. So with Tyrod Taylor, McCoy, Gillisley sprinkled in. I don't know if Gillisley's a guy that you can start with confidence and trust him, but he certainly should be rostered. I mean, he's hanging around your waiver wire. I mean, you can plug him in. But yeah, you're right. McCoy expected to play against the Jags. Not sure how 100% healthy he'll be, but this is a team who's just, they're losing a lot of players. You know, Robert Woods is the next victim who's down. He's gone. I mean, he's got the knee injury. He's on crutches. Rappaport's reporting that, you know, at least a few weeks, probably, maybe we won't even see this guy again, but now we've got to start talking about Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins eligible to return off the PUP list this week.
Preston Brown, for what it's worth, the linebacker. Sammy Watkins is going to play week 12 for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, the big coach, Preston Brown. I love him on my IDP team, always getting things done for me, but yeah, he said after the game he expects Sammy Watkins to play this week. It's all about pain tolerance is what I'm told from Sammy, and looking at him playing in the past couple years, not just
he doesn't
his pitcher
have
there.
A lot
it doesn't
of
look like he has a lot of pain tolerance, so he always seems to be bothered by something. But another guy that should be rostered, and maybe he can help you out. I mean, we were all pretty high on Sammy because of the last few games of last year. He was just so productive with Tyrod Taylor. Maybe he can help you out in the later weeks.
Stages? Why not?
Yeah, I mean, he's a talented wide receiver.
He's a good wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's someone that was drafted. It's not like he's been hanging around on waiver wires and like used as like a fill-in.
Yeah, I thought you meant like in the NFL. Like, you're somebody that was drafted.
No, in fantasy drafts. Yeah.
Yeah, he was drafted pretty high.
Let's move on, please. This is just the Buffalo Bills situation has been a disaster for us as well as them.
Yeah, we'll save it for Gabe.
Let's talk about your Philadelphia Eagles then. Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles, both injured. The bodies have been falling this weekend, that's for sure. Ryan Matthews, MCL sprain is a diagnosis, and then Darren Sproles suffered a rib injury.
Yeah, and there's really no word on the length of injury or the time that these guys are going to miss. I mean, Ryan Matthews, I saw him hurt himself in that game yesterday, and he was kind of flexing his knee a little bit, and then he stayed in the game. I don't understand that. It's like, why don't you just go off to the sidelines? But he's probably thinking, I'm not going off the sidelines.
He's not
Doug
Sammy
Peterson
Watkins.
Never plays me anyways, so I might as well just stay now that I'm on the field. Let's just stay here. And I saw him like flexing, and he played two or three times after that before he came out of the ball game. So Philadelphia's running back situation, always confusing. Is it going to be Matthews? Is it going to be Sproles? And now I think we just know it's going to be Wendell Smallwood, because he got the majority of the touches, the majority of the snaps over Kenyon Barner when in the second half, and he looked okay. He ran hard. He was physical. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to Jim about this again, but he certainly probably, in my opinion, is the number one waiver wire ad this week. I think that's who you go and get, especially if you're hurting a running back. We picked him up 5 weeks ago. We dropped him, and now we're talking about him again. So I think he's going to be the guy, and it's just hard to trust this Philadelphia offense. You're dealing with a rookie quarterback, a rookie coach, and now a rookie running back. Young wide receivers who are dropping balls left, right, and center all the time for Wentz. But this is a good matchup coming up against Green Bay.
I was going to say against Green Bay. So in their last two games against Washington and the Titans, the Packers have given up 137 rushing yards and three touchdowns to one R. Kelly, who we'll talk about a little bit later in our touches and targets segment. And then they've given up 123 yards and a touchdown to DeMarco Murray. So,
and they've given up 154 points in their last four games.
Well, yeah. We talked about it last week, how they were on the fringe of almost being like this irrelevant team.
And they've lost like four guys.
Going downhill, downhill, downhill.
Yeah, and they lost like four or five defensive players yesterday. A couple backs, a couple linemen, a corner. It's not great for Green Bay.
Not great. It's terrible. And it's terrible for those who started CJ Procise with confidence. Sorry about that one.
Yeah, it looked good early.
Another injury. He has a scapula injury.
Yeah.
And that's something that Dante Moncrief was out for 5 weeks with. The timeline, I guess, is between 4 to 6 weeks. It's looking like it's going to be 8 weeks for Procise, which means it's even more serious. There's only 6 weeks left in the season, so according to my calculations, that means he's only going to be available for the later stages of the playoffs if Seattle get there.
Yeah, I mean, you probably drop him.
For sure.
I mean, if you're in a keeper league, you hang on to him. If you have, like, IR spots, I mean, he's not going to go on there, but some people play with, like, these little IR spots. Even if they're just out, you can put them in an active spot in your roster. This is not great. This is a team that just gave up Christian Michael. Like, see you later. We don't care about your seven touchdowns. We don't care about you. Now it's all Thomas Rawls.
Yeah.
And they got a Mr. Pope in there that they brought in who got hurt. And I don't fully believe in Rawls. I love the way he runs, and I think the whole team in Seattle, I mean, the fans give him a standing. Oh, everybody loves this guy.
Yeah.
He's an undrafted running back. He came, you know, out of high school and just had fantastic numbers, carried it out in college, never got drafted, plays with a chip on his shoulder, runs hard and runs heavy. But I don't know if he can continue that. I don't know if he's a guy that can run heavy and hard 20, 25 times a game consistently throughout the rest of the year. So Rawls, big boost because Procise is out, but not a great situation. And you mentioned Moncrief. I mean, Moncrief, wide receivers can kind of avoid those hits sometimes.
Yeah, it's not as...
Saw Deshaun Jackson a couple times just like dive out of the way and not taking the hits. Procise as a running
back. He's not going to have that option. It's unfortunate. That nice 72-yard touchdown
run. And he looked great.
He looked so good. A nice block by Doug Baldwin to free him up.
Yeah, too bad.
Well, enjoy that because it was the last time you'll see that this season. Okay. But what we're going to see a little bit more of coming up next is Jim Saunas from NumberFire.com. We're talking about waiver wire if you're wondering about who to pick up. This is the Fantasy Sports Network. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. I guess we're about
Mister on Friday.
No, you didn't. It took you two segments to realize that you missed me on Friday.
I know. Let's bring in Jim Sonnis, numberfire.com. Let's talk some waiver wire. Jim, we appreciate you coming on yesterday before our live show, which Ashley wasn't here, so Ashley's really excited to talk to you. But I'm going to ask you the first question. We just found out that Darren Sproles got a fractured rib. We don't know a timetable, but that's not good news. We don't really have a timetable on Ryan Matthews either, but he's dealing with an MCL sprain. We saw this guy get hurt yesterday and stay on the football field because he doesn't get on there often, and he did not want to leave. But I guess the number one pickup, Jim, is Wendell Smallwood. How do you feel about him the rest of the way?
Yeah, I actually don't mind him at all. I think that if you look at that Philadelphia Eagles offense, it really seems as if they want to take as much off of Carson Wentz's plate as they can possibly do. And Smallwood is a guy they were even using before Sproles and Matthews got hurt, so it's not as if they're averse to using him. Played 48% of the snaps yesterday. He had 13 carries and 5 targets. It seems as if both those guys out, this may be the first time the entire season where we can actually have faith in what Doug Peterson is going to do with his running backs. Now, it is worth mentioning Kenyon Barner also played 22% of the snaps in that game, so it's not as if it will be a one-man band in the backfield, but I think if you look at the composition of that team with a great defense that can, you know, hold people down, they're going to be in positive game script every now and then. So if Wendell Smallwood gets a bigger chunk of that pie, then he's a great guy that you can ride for a pretty long time.
He seems like he could be an RB2, I mean, depending on the injuries for the rest of the guys.
Well, and it's nice to see him get an opportunity because he had a quad injury in training camp, and then he was out with a concussion in the last preseason game, so he's getting a lot of reps, and as we mentioned a little earlier, the Packers next, which is always a pleasant matchup for
running
backs. I
love the 5 targets. That's a positive, too.
Absolutely. A positive for, I guess, owners of Brandon LaFell is that he might be getting some more looks, but obviously he's had trouble holding on to things, and that seems to be the script with him all the time. 4 of 9 for 32 yards plus Buffalo. So the other option in that Cincinnati offense without A.J. Green is Tyler Boyd. And although he was targeted when Green was first out, he wasn't really looked at in the second half. He was shut down a little bit. So my question is, Ravens, Texans, Eagles coming up, 3 of their next 6 games against top 10 passing defenses. Are these two guys someone that you're looking at? Do you see potential, or is this kind of like a last-ditch effort?
No, I am going to make pretty big efforts to get preferably Brandon LaFell on my team right now. I think that they'll be able to work Tyler Boyd in more now that they know that he's going to be kind of a guy there without A.J. Green. But LaFell has played 95% of the snaps yesterday, and he's been on the field consistently. He had 9 targets, which was more than Boyd had for the game. I would assume that Boyd does get an uptick in snaps and targets heading into next week, but they do like LaFell a decent amount by the red zone. And if you look at his efficiency metrics, he actually has been more efficient than Tyler Boyd this year in the targets they've gotten. So I know that LaFell's not super intriguing, but I think if we're looking for floor here, I would prefer Brandon LaFell over Tyler Boyd. But at the end of the day, when you free up almost 30% of the targets with A.J. Green going down, there's going to be so much opportunity that you really can't turn it down. I think that it benefits both them. It might wind up hurting Jeremy Hill and Tyler Eifert because of reduced efficiency in the offense, but I do think that both Tyler Boyd and Brandon LaFell do benefit.
So would you rather have Brandon LaFell, or seeing what Jared Goff did yesterday, I mean, I think his longest pass was like 7 yards. Is Kenny Britt now, is that a guy that you would just drop, say, for Brandon LaFell? Or what do you do in the Chicago situation, too? Because, I mean, looking at the snaps, Meredith 55, Marquise Wilson 29, Royal had only had 25 snaps. Like, would you rather have a guy like LaFell over all of these other guys?
I think I would, just due to functionality of the offense. We know that Andy Dalton, and obviously this will go down with A.J. Green being out, but we know that he is a semi-efficient quarterback, and with Jay Cutler having all those injuries on the offensive line between Josh Sitton and Kyle Long and just having no offensive pieces there, I'm not really sure what the upside is in Cam Meredith. He's kind of a guy you can count on for floor, I think, going forward, just because he had the 4 targets yesterday, but I don't really know what his ceiling is, and that's kind of a different scenario for both Boyd and LaFell. So I think I'd rather scoop up both those guys over Cam Meredith for this week, just because whoever winds up bringing down that top wide receiver role going forward could be a pretty solid, you know, wide receiver for fantasy. So I'd probably favor both of them over Cam Meredith just because of, you know, his ceiling potential for those two.
And Zach Miller, since we're talking about Chicago, he has a broken foot, so he's pretty much
stomped on. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
I thought he was fine. I was like, oh, he just got stepped on, but
it was a stomp, not
it was
a step.
Like a I can't do it because you can't see my feet, but it was like a
you could like hear it.
It was crazy. Buddy should be suspended.
Well, he gone. He's not. He's their backup is Logan Paulson out of UCLA. Is there any value there? Do you think you kind of mentioned Meredith, but Royal could be the one getting an uptick since he's more of a beneficiary of those like intermediate routes for Chicago?
Yeah, I think that Cam Meredith is definitely the guy that you want. overall, but I think that Marquise Wilson's kind of in the mix too. If you look at their snap rates from yesterday, Wilson had more snaps than Eddie Royal. That might be because Eddie Royal still may not be fully healthy yet, but overall, I think that I do want to potentially grab those guys. Like, I'm not burning a waiver priority on Eddie Royal or Marquise Wilson, but I do think that Wilson is at least worth owning at this point, just because, like we talked about with LaFell and Boyd, there are going to be so many targets available in that offense that I have no issue picking them up as long as I'm not spending too much FOB or blowing a waiver priority on them.
It's really too bad because Zach Miller, you know, we saw him benefit yesterday. He's been great all season. I mean, the schedule too for fantasy football playoffs was just awesome. It was off the charts, and now you don't have Miller. What do you do? The tight end position, we got Vance McDonald. I'm assuming that Zach Ertz is owned, but even though his ownership is like 57%, you look at NFL.com, like some of the ownerships are just crazy. I hear you laughing. I mean, it's out to lunch. Rob Kelly's like 17%. I don't get it. But if Zach Ertz is already owned, I mean, Vance McDonald's got four straight games of 6+ targets. We saw Jared Cook have a decent game yesterday, even though he fumbled at the end. Will Ty now has 20 targets in his last three. Where are you going for the tight end position if you had Zach Miller?
Yeah, I think that all three of those guys that you mentioned have viability, but again, I'm shooting for touchdown potential, so Jared Cook's a great option. I don't know how much I can trust him, though. He kind of worries me, obviously, given that he is Jared Cook. So I'm kind of turning towards Will Ty. He was a guy who I loved towards the end of last year. If you look at the past three games, he is, you know, pretty up there on the team in targets. He's had at least five each of the past three games. Like you said, 20 overall in that span. And since they benched Larry Donnell, he has a 17.4% target market share in that offense. He played 78% of the snaps yesterday as well. So when you're looking for a tight end, I want a guy who is on a semi-efficient offense who can generate touchdown drives, give that guy a potential for touchdowns. Will Ty has that. Jared Cook has that too. So I think that they're both, you know, definitely viable. But I mean, if Vance McDonald is an option too, just because he does see, like you said, six targets per game each of the past four games. So I think that they're all viable. I might prioritize them as Ty, Cook, and then McDonald for right now. But if you're in desperation, I think they're all at least worth putting a bid in.
And at least, and you've seen Vance McDonald have that nice relationship with Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. He's definitely used
it. And Ty towards the end of last season was really productive as well in a pass-happy offense.
We have about 30 seconds, Jim, but I really want to get this question in because the Patriots are a team that everyone loves to hate. Unless you're a Patriots fan, then you're just laughing to the bank all the time. Malcolm Mitchell was the beneficiary of Chris Hogan as well as Gronkowski being out this week. He had 95 yards in his first eight games combined and then had 98 yesterday. Is this someone that has long-term value, or is he only as valuable as long as his counterparts are out?
Playing the 49ers.
Exactly. I think that he's going to have viability just because he is an asset in the Patriots offense. They can generate touchdown drives. He'll never feel good about him just because his floor is so low, given the mouths they have to feed. But 84% of the snaps on New England's team is something you can't ignore. So I love Malcolm Mitchell. He's a guy I definitely do want to get. And he's a guy you can probably get for free in waivers this week.
Yeah, it's funny when you see a quarterback like Tom Brady just making everyone around him better. Everyone Absolutely. Is an option in that offense.
Except for Chris Hogan in my NFL 10 shares, of course.
I know. I was pretty big on Hogan, too.
Yeah.
But whoops. Can't stay healthy, I guess.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
All right, Jim, we got to get out of here. But thank you so much for your time, as always.
Yeah, thank you both, and good luck in week number 12. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
well, I guess it's not Thanksgiving. I missed it. Sorry about that. Missed your Thanksgiving.
It's
sorry.
Thanksgiving week, though. It's all right.
Okay.
We'll still be talking here a lot of Thanksgiving.
We forgive you this one time.
Thank you.
Enjoy the week, man. Thanks a lot.
You as well. Thank you very much.
Bye. Love me some Jim Saunas.
Nice.
My favorite day of the week when he's on the show. All right, Targets and Touches coming up next. We're going to tell you about who were the leaders, and there's some surprising names. We'll be back on FST. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It's time for our weekly Targets and Touches leaders, and I think that we need to kind of incorporate some kind of like drum roll as we pull up our targets board.
We'll work on something better.
Julian Edelman leading the way. Mike Evans, Rashard Matthews had a great game. Coleman, but we want to focus on some of the tight ends that are here at Cook and Ertz.
Yeah, just like, I mean, Evans is always doing this every single week. Rashard Matthews, by the way, is fantastic. He's great. I mean, six touchdowns in his last seven games. He's just somebody that you can certainly certainly trust. And in 10-man leagues, I think he's available, and you just go ahead and you play him for the rest of the season because him and Marcus Mariota are great. But yeah, for Zach Ertz is the biggest one for me because in week one, he had a lot of targets, 7 targets, 6 catches, 60 yards, great week. Mm-hmm. Then he suffers the injury, misses a couple weeks, has a bye week, and then comes back to play like week four, but he's not 100% healthy. And what we've seen over the past couple weeks, especially the last two, is that he's the only guy in this offense that can catch the ball. Nobody else can catch. So his last 3 games, he got 26 targets, 20 receptions, 187 yards, one touchdown. We saw him get it was like a 70-yard touchdown because Nelson Agholor doesn't know how to line up on the line. It was called back, and he didn't get the touchdown. So that would have taken away a much bigger day from Zach Ertz. And if you look at last year towards this part of the season to the end, mm-hmm. and then the year before, this part of the season to the end, Zach Ertz just like comes out of nowhere. He's awesome. And then preseason, we're like, oh, Zach Ertz is going to be like, oh, he's going to be like a top five tight end.
Sure.
And he's not. But with tight ends, I honestly believe that some of these guys, it takes a little bit of time to develop, to learn the playbook, and just to be involved in the offense. Do you block half the time? Like, all of those things take
into consideration. There's a lot of components that go into the tight end position.
Absolutely. And Ertz, I really feel like, is starting to come into his own. He's starting to get involved in the red zone. We saw a red zone touchdown from him. So mm-hmm. I think it's somebody that people should pick up. I know he was dropped in like 7% of Yahoo leagues before the game against Seattle. Somebody that you can plug in, I think. He's the one guy that I really do feel like Wentz can lean on a little bit in the offense.
And Jared Cook was leaned on quite heavily, but he also did a lot of work for himself. 6 receptions, 105 yards, and a touchdown. He had 2 grabs that were 20-plus yards in this contest, and the Green Bay Packers can use all the help that they can get. It was a great comeback performance. He returned from a 6-game absence.
Yeah, and he dropped a touchdown in the end zone that he probably should have had, and he lost the fumble. It was just a nice play from Josh Norman.
We're trying to talk about, like, positive things, and you're, like, going to, like, drops and, like, him being a loser.
No. I'm not Pat Mayo. I mean, Mayo says Cooks is a loser. He's the worst place, like him and Ingram. I like him. I think he's okay, and I think it's somebody that I don't know if you could feel comfortable starting in 12-team leagues
sure.
and get away with it, but I think you could play him in DFS in a spot against the Eagles.
Sneaky.
He had 11 targets, as you mentioned, so I think you can get away with that, and maybe into some tournament plays and maybe deeper leagues where you can play 2 tight ends.
Okay.
14-team leagues.
Desperate situations.
Like maybe the work
Desperate
roster.
Situations.
Maybe,
got it.
Maybe
welcome
pick
back.
Him up in the work league.
Welcome back, Jared Cook, and welcome back, Doug Martin. I know it was his second game back, but he really returned to form, looking like his old self. 63 yards on 24 carries, 42 yards on 3 receptions, for a total of 27 there at number 4. Let's ignore the first 3 guys because obviously Bell, Johnson, and Elliott. Like,
this is awesome.
This is just what we come to expect.
Murray,
it's fun to watch.
Murray's in there all the time. Gore is a beast. This guy never gets old. He just continues to do it. Doug Martin was a big takeaway for me, Ashley. I mean, 27 touches, as you mentioned, playing Seattle, San Diego, New Orleans, Dallas, and then New Orleans again. So
yep.
It's just a big positive. When we talked about it last week, is that he played most of the snaps, touched the ball a ton after missing several weeks, and now, you know, his second game in a row, he's getting the opportunity. So I think you can count on this guy being in top 10 in terms of touches every single week.
And what a perfect time for the Bucs to get him back. They're second in the NFC South, and then they're going to get Sims back. They're going to get Jaquizz Rodgers back. So their backfield is going to be looking like it should have been looking all season.
Because it's been pretty bleak.
Which will
year,
be a little bit of a nightmare for people who are counting on Jaquizz Rodgers to come back because he was the third string in that offense.
But I think he's the odd man out.
He proved himself, though, so we could just see a massive, massive committee. And then quickly, R. Kelly.
Your boy,
Robert Kelly.
Give him some love.
Oh, my gosh. 24 rush attempts for 137 yards, 3 touchdowns. This guy has 321 rushing yards in his last 3 games, 87, 97, and then 137 over the last 3 games.
4 touchdowns.
He's the real deal.
He's the real deal.
The real deal.
He runs so hard. He runs so hard, so physical.
Yeah.
Matt Jones is forgotten about. Chris Thompson does come in, and the third down catches some balls. He's a great pass back. He's a great guy
pass
to have in pass catcher in the third down role. He's phenomenal. He's going to continue to play in that role. But Kelly runs hard, and you can run on Green Bay. He proved it yesterday.
Everyone's going to run on Green Bay. Poor Green Bay.
Pick up Akeem Hunt today, just in case Lamar Miller goes down. Everyone else got hurt. It's worth a flyer. Maybe we'll talk about him on tomorrow.
Bye.